I should just play more games. I don't.
You should. Yeah, you should play more games. That's maybe what we should do now.
Should
it's,
be.
Let's torture Nick.
Hey, welcome to episode 173 of Front Seat Gamer. I'm here with Paul.
Hey.
And Blake.
Hey.
Did I reverse it this time?
I've
been switching it up
lately. I'm usually second.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm cool being second.
You're number two?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Say it. Say it. Say it for everyone.
Yeah, I'm number two.
Yeah.
I'm number temporary Severn replacement.
Yeah.
Yeah, really temporary.
Yeah.
Any day now. how are you guys going?
Pretty good.
I'm good.
Pretty good.
I don't know what word I just said.
Are we going on? We released the new PoE.
Affliction.
League. Yep.
Yesterday.
How was your experience with all that?
It was pretty good. I have to be around when the website deploys. So
yeah.
I was up at 5 a.m. yesterday.
That's rough.
Well, 4:30 to get there to...
Yeah.
Be Holy around hell. On time and with coffee and whatnot.
Yeah. Are you still on call? Like, do you have a pager that's just like could buzz at any second?
Kind of, but it almost never does.
Okay, that's good.
Because it's the server admins, sysadmins that get pager notifications.
Yeah.
And they'll only talk to me if it's something very website specific that they need help with.
Okay.
And or if you've most broken stuff something. They can just fix.
All right. That's cool.
What's that?
Or if you've specifically broken something.
Yeah.
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 Which you would never do.
Do it all the time. Never
ever. Blake, you been playing much?
I've been playing just a couple of games that we've already talked about a bunch of times, so I don't know if it's if I have anything new to add. I've been playing Baldur's Gate. I've got into Act 3.
Yep.
Some revelations and spoilers all over the place that really just can't talk about.
Yep. Totally.
That game is so good.
Yep.
I talked about this on the last podcast that I downloaded a mod. I downloaded a mod so I can have other characters.
Uh-huh.
It really makes me want to play through that game with all the characters on like the hardest difficulty setting and just roll around with like 8, 9, 10 people. Just like a small army.
Oh, that's kind of cool, actually.
I'm curious how that goes. I think it'll. I spoke to Blake about this, I think, earlier in the week, and I basically just said I think that's gonna be boring because it sounds much okay. The way D&D works is you spend a turn setting up your next turn. You oftentimes and you do that for 10 characters. So you spend twice as long doing the setups before you can actually do the payoff.
Well, yeah, on the payoff turn, you've got 10 payoffs.
Yeah. The other thing
you probably
is
probably only need two.
That's true. That's exactly right.
You've got 10.
That's exactly right. And the other thing is you have a lot of areas are like kind of confined, or your party starts off in a small space or whatever it is, and there's lots of AoE skills.
Well, you know what you can do. You know what you can do here. You can split the party.
Okay.
You got two groups. You have actual flankers. Of five people rolling around the same dungeon.
Huh. Okay.
And then you're getting into multiple fights.
Okay.
So you can. So
I mean, that does sound chaotic.
Oh, hell yeah. So you can explore a dungeon.
I do a little bit get the appeal of that. Having to like micromanage two different combats.
I will say, I have not done anything where there's two separate combats running simultaneously.
I haven't. I mean, I've had instances where like a couple party members have gotten into combat and others are like lagging behind.
So. And it gets into a weird like turn-based and RTS in real-time thing that I don't love.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that.
Because you're like running your party over and then you're seeing your dudes getting hit and dying. And it's like, oh, okay.
Hmm.
How often have you accidentally left party members behind?
Oh, all the time. Anytime there's a jumping puzzle. Anytime.
Dude, yeah, there's something... that is a bug, right? Like, sometimes characters just don't jump.
So I think... That is true. I think that the issue is different races have different jumping distances, and there are also different rules around whether or not you take fall damage.
Yeah.
And a character will not jump if they're going to take fall damage.
No, I understand that, but I've had them like just on a regular ledge that anyone can jump. And I jump, a couple of characters follow, and then there'll be two just standing there like,
what's that? I don't know what the deal is. I reckon maybe it's like the character tries to pathfind to the ledge and can't because there's another character in the way and just says, I'm not going to bother.
This solution that I found with that is like swapping out to another another character.
And then your characters start jumping back to that character. That is literally the worst part of that game. It is. It's the most annoying part of the game. Mm. The game is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. But I hate that.
Yeah. I got really into just unchaining people a lot.
Mm.
You know how you've got your toggle for like chaining all the party members together so they move around as one. Unchaining people for certain things.
Yeah.
Like when I'll get Astarion to go unlock a thing. Just unchain everyone so he can walk over and do that. Because I was sick of like, there's a trap that he needs to disarm, and everyone wanders over and blunders over through all these traps.
Hey, let me know how fun that is when you've got 10 party members, by the way.
it just takes
it's like
discipline.
Here's Blake. Hey, I want to do a game where I've got more of the same problems. Hey, you know how annoying it is when one party member gets caught because like they can't path around another party member? What if that happens 5 times and every time I jump? Doesn't that sound like a better experience? I think that's going to be great.
We'll get a message in the chat. It'll be like, start a jumping puzzle 6 hours later.
Yeah.
I did it.
Yeah.
I got it.
It's the first ledge or whatever. It's just,
That, this is not a spoiler. Probably not. There's a bit of a jumping puzzle leading up to the hag, depending on, I guess, which way you go.
Yep.
That is tough enough with just the four people that I had.
I know the one you're talking about with all the flowers.
Yeah.
And the gas.
That was insane.
There are tricks to that. You can throw rocks to block the gas vents and stuff.
Yeah, I figured there was tricks around it, but
you're just gonna rush through and watch people explode.
I just like this is where I learned about unchaining people, and just doing stuff one at a time. How did I get through that? I had a potion of glorious vaulting.
Yeah.
And I clustered all my people together.
Yeah.
And threw that potion on the ground, so everyone got the benefit of it, and then switched to turn base.
Okay, and then just jumped everybody across.
Yeah, because the first time I attempted it, I kept it in real time, and it just ran out before I could get anyone organized.
Classic.
Yeah, it was great though. It was like, it really felt like I was working my way through a dungeon. You know,
10 people next time, huh?
I'll go a different way.
Okay,
probably. I'll split the party.
I'm not 100% sure.
They can do it twice.
There can be 5 guys that do it that way. Uh-huh. 5 guys that find a different way.
Okay, good. I very much want to hear how this plays out. Here's my prediction. You are going to lose half the party in Act 1. They're going to die, and you're going to...
It'll be fine.
Okay.
It'll be fine. Because, I mean, you...
I predict you're going to have more self-party wipes because of fireballs, because of them blocking each other, whatever else. You're going to find it way more annoying.
Play carefully.
Okay, I love it. I want to hear about it.
Just play carefully, but... You've probably had this feeling when you're playing through as well, because there are just characters. Everyone has characters that they just don't use.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then when they're at, which is like a lot of them. And then when you're at camp and you're talking to them, you feel, and they're like talking to you about what's going on, you kind of feel like you're not even involved in this.
Yeah. It's
why
like,
are you?
Yeah.
You
know? Will wants to romance me, and I'm like, dude, I haven't spoken to you.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you so upset that I don't want to do your dance?
Yeah. This is. everyone wants to fuck everyone in this game, right?
It actually got annoying. Like, you go to camp, you're in the middle of like some crazy dungeon, you're just trying to like rest, to get everyone back
and,
to health.
And Gale's like, hey, you want to hear about the weave? Like,
and you're like, sure, like the weave. Like, I don't know what this is. I think I'm going to learn a new kind of magic.
You follow.
He was not trying to show you his new kind of magic.
Yeah, he was trying to show you something else.
Yeah.
He wanted to show you his wand, that's all. But you follow those conversations down so far because you're like, well, you know, I'm just being personable and like, I want to know about...
I don't want to say no to this man who wants to kiss me.
And then it gets to a point where you're like,
Oh, I have to make a decision here.
Like especially that weave thing, because I'm a sorcerer. Yeah. So I was like interested in that. I was like, oh yeah, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
And then it's like, this is going in a weird direction that I didn't expect.
Yeah. I mean, apparently they had basically all of the characters way too horny than intended. Allegedly. Yeah. Allegedly they kept saying it was a bug. But I think it was really just like they made a mistake and they thought, maybe
we made them a little too thirsty. That is a thing that players always crave, right? They're like, oh, you can romance all these different characters. Remember Dragon Age was like all about, they were always advertising it as you could romance.
And it was part of how they advertised Baldur's Gate as well. It was you could sleep with a beer or something. Yeah, and they're like, actually.
I have a funny anecdote. When I was in the US showing off, Path of Exile 2.0, I think it was, where we were doing the, or maybe it was 3.0, the one where we're adding the 6 additional acts. Mm. So we were finishing the main.
That was 3.0.
Yeah.
So we were in the US, we're showing it off to journalists, and this one guy came in, and he had never played Path of Exile, knew nothing about it, had done no prior research, and like I was trying to sort of take him through the basics of the game, and it's fine if people don't know the game. But then he was like, can you romance the characters? I was like, no. He's like, none of them? Like, he really wanted to be able to romance the Forsaken Masters? And I was like, that's not quite the kind of game this is.
I think our game only has that one quest where you actually have, like, some sort of choice, like, dialogue choice. Well, there's
the bandits.
Yeah, the bandits. That's the only one that has, like, you could make an actual choice.
There's the Kira. You give the feather to one of two people, but there's no gameplay implications. It's pure narrative. Huh. The bandits has a gameplay consequence.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was by design. Yeah. Like, it's a thing where if you give a gameplay consequence that is also tied to the narrative, you're going to cause players to do what they feel is wrong narratively for what they feel is right for their gameplay. And there's a gross disconnect there.
Do you think there's there'd be people that play that in Baldur's Gate, absolutely. That are like,
choose something, do something because of the gameplay implication,
rather than
story implication.
Yeah.
Yes, I almost certainly. I do think that Baldur's Gate, by virtue of it making like it just the volume of choices, the volume of branching choices, and the volume of consequences. You can't. It's much harder to track what the consequence of any given choice will be, and so you tend to go for the narrative choice and live with the consequences.
Yeah, I guess you have to like look up a guide and be like, "Oh, you get this reward from this thing, so I'm gonna do this."
Yes,
I've often though, in especially in my multiplayer games, I've had the opposite where it's the role playing that has taken precedent. You know Like, I think I told a story of one of my...
Your paladin friend
who was, playing this noble paladin. And also wanted to be the lead talker because he had high charisma. Mm. And he went and talked to some goblins, and straight away he's like, I can't agree with these goblins. They're, like, evil monsters, so I have to just fight them straight away. And we're all sitting there going, why are you doing this?
Yeah, that's when you say you're no longer the lead talker.
Yeah, yeah. I told him I would talk to the monster-looking characters, and he can talk to the nice-looking people.
So let's just talk. I really want to hear about because Paul's been playing Warcraft, right?
Yeah.
So I really want to hear about that. But before we get to that, I really want to talk about how multiplayer works in Baldur's Gate because I don't 100% love it. I think it's maybe the
is it
the, a weak implementation
it,
in that like you a character talks to another character. Mm. And then only that character makes decisions in that conversation, even if the rest of the party
is
standing
there. This is a problem, I think, in just the single player as well, that you can act, you can run through a dungeon with like maybe not your lead talker up front because it's a dangerous dungeon, and then you are in the conversation.
A conversation.
Yeah, and you've got like the lowest charisma person stuck in that conversation.
Yeah. Mm. But that I don't mind so much as long as there's an opportunity for someone else to step into that role in the middle of the conversation,
but there isn't, though.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. So I that I wish that there was.
Although it'll pop up with so and so disagrees with this, and it's like, okay.
Well, thanks. Then why did you say something?
Maybe say something.
Speak right? up.
Maybe before I click the dialogue
option. Yeah.
I also, I mean, before you get to your point, I also don't like how. So in single player with initiative, right, there are characters that will take their turns at the same time. But because you're playing by yourself, you can only make one turn at a time.
Yes.
But in multiplayer,
you literally can take turns at the same time.
Yeah, yes. And it's madness.
It can be a bit chaotic.
Because everyone is doing everything at once sometimes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
I don't mind that so much. That, in some ways, it feels more realistic.
I suppose it just requires a lot more communication than Divinity did when we were playing Divinity. Everyone took their turn on their turn.
Right.
In this, it's like, oh, three people can have their turn at the same time.
I'm also kind of fine with people doing what they want on their turn. Like, yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fine with that. But when somebody is like setting, like, goes to charge someone, and then somebody has already cast like a spell that just kills that person.
Right.
It's like, great. What a waste.
Yeah, but that's also kind of fine, right? Like,
I mean, I guess you either embrace the chaos or, we organize ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm. I always say, look, I'll go last because my stuff is the most chaotic.
Okay.
So I just wait for everyone to do their stuff.
Yeah.
And then when it's me, I'll just throw a fireball at whatever's left.
Yeah.
Because if I throw a fireball out first, someone just charges straight into it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a very fair concern. Mm. But I also don't mind it. The problem is that is not a philosophy that translates to other elements of the game.
Okay.
I conversations. No, you can't have multiple people in the same conversation.
Yeah.
At the same time. Yeah. It is, you talk to the NPC, you are the only person actually doing the talking. Even though they're drifting there in the background, frowning.
Mm.
Sometimes they do chime in the middle of conversations in single player, where it's like Shadowheart will say something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It feels a missed opportunity.
You want your main talker to just step in and be like, okay, let me handle this, you know?
I don't even want that. I want it to be narratively, I want some level of sensible interruption.
Yeah.
Like, okay, my character's saying something and then I realize I'm out of my depth, and my buddy can step in and say, I'm going to persuade you, or I'm going to intimidate you, or whatever it is.
Because you can swap to those other characters while you're in a conversation. Like, you literally can. There's a little icon, and you can, but...
But doesn't that remove you from the conversation?
Yeah, it removes you from the conversation. So it basically just pauses the conversation, and then you can move your characters around. So I guess if it's like, oh, a fight is coming up, you can position yourself.
That's not.
But if you could be like, swap to one of your other characters, and then
they're in the conversation
re-interact
too.
With that conversation to be like,
I don't even want to re-interact. I just want it to continue the conversation from that point, and that character interrupts and says their bit.
Yeah, you know? I mean that would be good.
Yeah. Anyway, Baldur's Gate 4 when. That'll please solve that, Larian. Please make it so that anybody can do anything in a conversation. Thank you. Hey Paul, you've been playing World of Warcraft Season of Discovery, right?
Yes.
Have you discovered much?
I've discovered some stuff.
So tell me about it, because the only thing I know about Season of Discovery is that there's like some weird class role potential changes, like something about like warlock tanks and like mage or something like that.
So it starts out as just classic, but they've added these things called runes that you can find, and the runes will have an ability, like a new class skill or spell, but you like engrave that on either your chest, pants, gloves, or one other slot.
Okay.
So there's like four potential other skill slots you can have.
Okay.
But you find these from runes throughout the world.
Okay.
There'll be like quite early on, you'll get like a quest to go find one that'll involve different things for different classes.
Yeah.
First one's always real easy.
Yeah.
A bunch of others are hidden in weird places, or, you know, you're supposed to go discover them. Or Google them.
Hence the name Season of Discovery.
Yep.
When you say hidden in weird places, you're talking like you have to climb to a weird location in the world, or is it like
you'll bump into, say, dungeon? A corpse on the where area you're usually questing in.
Yeah.
And there'll be some interaction there that you've then got to, like, go talk to someone in town about.
Okay, so it kicks you off on a quest or something.
Yeah, but it's, okay. You never, at least for ones I've done, I never actually got a quest.
Oh.
It was all just, like,
oh, it's organic. Go
talk to the dude.
Right,
you get clues. There'll be some hint to go talk, find someone. Mm.
That's cool, I like that. So it's not just in your quest log, oh, now I've got this and I need to go here.
However, there might be some, actually... There might be some new quests as well. I don't know if any of them are tied to runes. Now, and I definitely don't remember doing any specific quest ones myself other than that intro one.
Now, you said that you could just Google them. So that means that, like, these clues are static for everybody? Everybody gets the same clues? They're all in the same location?
So there was, like, whole Discord servers where people are trying to find certain things because they announced a lot of what the skills were ahead of time. Maybe all of the skills.
Right.
So people knew what was available. And there was just a sort of... everyone trying to figure out where to find things.
Yep.
And in the first couple of days of it, it was real, it was really cool because you'd have people just chatting and general chat being like,
oh my God,
if you want this, come here. Yeah. We just figured out how to do this thing.
Nice.
And that was super fun, honestly.
Yeah.
And at the moment, the level cap is level 25.
Now
it's increasing to 40 at some point and then to, I don't know the exact bands actually.
Now, this is interesting to me because I did not know that they had banded level caps for this specific mode.
Yep.
You said it's basically because everyone...
Who wants to play Classic WoW is old now.
Yeah, old and they have families and jobs and doesn't have time.
Like, I'm pretty sure that's what they said in the actual presentation is that...
It makes sense.
It gives people a chance to like actually go around and discover things, not just rush to the end and then...
I like that in theory. I think it'll... I mean, it has a subscription cost, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so that, I feel like there's a secondary motivation for putting a time limit on the advancement, but...
So I thought this as well, and I was like, oh, I'm going to get to level 25 super fast.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to, like, do the raid a few times and then be done. Yeah. Because they also added a raid at level 25.
That is Black interesting.
Black Fathom Depths into a raid. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Did you do the raid?
That's the Alliance area, right?
What's that?
Did you the raid?
No, not yet. Oh, so this is what I was going to get to, is that I was like, oh, yeah, you know, rush through. And turns out that, no, like, I also have a job.
Yeah.
And I do have two characters. but, yeah, I haven't hit max level on, like, either of the characters I'm playing.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're playing two characters?
Yeah. So what happened was me and Stacey started playing on the Friday after work, on the day it came out. The next morning, I usually go to the gym with... Neon and Damo, who's another friend of mine, who also works at GGG. And I convinced them while we're training to, like, play WoW.
Oh,
so we all go home, jump on. And then from,
a four-person party?
Yeah, nice. From, like, lunchtime until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
we
boy.
Played Classic WoW Season of Discovery, just running around. Great. And it was, like...
That does sound like a blast.
It was... legitimately like a throwback to me being 17.
Man, that's so good. I love it.
It was great.
I feel like playing this.
Yeah, me
it's
too.
It's fun. Like it.
Holidays coming up.
There's a lot of overpowered skills. Like it definitely makes questing easier because you can't just give people four new skills.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, the game's the same difficulty it was before.
Yeah.
But it's still not that fast. You can't just run through, grab everything, and be fine. Even with four of us, like, we died a few times.
Wow. So tell me about some of these skills, because you've got four skill slots.
Yeah, but you'll get more runes than that. So you can swap them out as long as you're not in combat.
Now, skills, when you say skills, I'm thinking, like, okay, as a mage, I'd get, like, a fireball. Is that what we're talking about? We're talking about skills?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about, like, some sort of passive effect? Is it, like, a...
Nah, most of them are active skills.
Okay.
So... mages get like a Frost Lance, which is a skill that came in much more recent WoW.
Yep.
That they've just ported in. I think a lot of the skills, but not all of them, are newer WoW skills that they thought would be interesting and classic.
Okay.
But then there's like...
feels a bit of a cop-out.
Maybe it's just me. But it creates some pretty interesting things. Like there is the Warlock tanking thing, where you can get Metamorphosis, which turns you into a demon, and then it gives you like an extra whole bunch of armor.
Okay.
Turns a bunch of skills you already have into melee skills. Okay. Oh, not melee, like close range skills.
Yep.
Which I haven't tried because I'm not... that one's hidden in the raid. I think you need to do the raid to actually unlock it.
Interesting.
But
interesting.
Yeah, I think they missed up there, to be honest.
Yeah, because it feels like the things that redefine your class should be before the raid, and the things that broadly just give you more power.
They actually tweeted that they didn't realize they sort of made a mistake there.
Interesting.
And actually acknowledged it.
That I would love to see that tweet, because
there's one guy there that's been communicating quite well. Mm. I've only seen like a few of his tweets, but
yeah,
it does really seem like they hadn't thought that through. It was also bugged, that one specific skill, and there was this huge conversation in Discord of people going down all these rabbit holes trying to figure out how to unlock this one specific skill.
Oh, wow.
But it was in the raid, but they hadn't changed it so that the quest, the rune could drop, or maybe it's a quest thing or something, couldn't drop in raids.
Oh, dear.
So no. they did fix that on like the Monday, though.
Okay.
I think it was pretty soon after.
It's, yeah. I mean, I kind of get why they put this like class redefining thing behind a raid, but you kind of want to use it in the raid. Right?
Yeah.
So
open up the bands, yes, like, I think sure, once
40 or whatever, when the next level band is, and I assume they're going to have another raid at the cap of that.
I think that's what they would, yeah.
Then I can kind of see that being, like, there's a logic there, but the logic makes sense when you're looking at the big picture, not when you're looking at the week-by-week game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, this is Act 1, and you get a cool new skill.
At the end of it.
At the end of Act 1.
Yeah.
That will be used later.
But it's going to be useless until you can reach the end of Act 2, basically,
which is,
that's the mistake, right? Mm. It should be like, you get this in the middle of Act 1, and at the end of Act 1 you get this.
Yeah.
And it's going to make blazing through Act 2 fast or fun.
Mm. But some of the other things, though, I think are skills that haven't existed in WoW at all before. There's a chain skill that mages get that, like, heals or something, and I think you channel it. I haven't used it. I've seen other people using it, so like these giant purple beams.
Oh, see, that appeals to me. I loved playing a mage, and I loved playing a healer.
Hmm. Yeah.
And those two things do not mix. And so that thing, that really intrigues me.
Well, I think some of the skills actually deal damage and heal at the same time or something. Okay. There's also Shaman can tank, and they get a thing where they recover mana when they block.
Okay. Now, tank Shaman has always kind of been possible outside of raids.
Yeah.
Like, because they're chain mail wearing after a certain point. They have shields.
Hmm.
They have, like, the totem that causes, like, a damage deduction. They have totems that heal. They have their own healing. Like, they're hybrid classes. And one of the hybrid options is, like, kind of a basic tank.
Yep.
So I'm interested to see how they support that further. I would love if my dream, even though I'm not playing this, is for these weird specs to be competitive with true versions of those other classes.
Yeah, and I think it'll be a mistake if they aren't. Because the hybrid classes were always one step behind, right? And in most cases, like,
it's
a priest, a healing priest would out-heal still most of the other specs.
Druids other and classes, shamans, I think. Yes.
And then warriors were the best tanks by far, and warriors were also the best DPS by far.
There was definitely a period like that.
Yeah.
You raise an interesting point, and I think this is an issue more of player psychology than anything else. And when you look at the way a raid is structured, it's clear that some of the raids were designed to funnel hybrid classes to do multiple roles within a given raid.
Yep.
As in, like, I'm going to use multi-core as the most basic example.
Mm.
You have, Baron Geddon is a single target where everyone, like, everyone's fighting the thing. There's, like, a bunch of people meleeing, and you need a bunch of healing to keep those, like, melee people up because they keep taking fire damage.
Yep.
And you heal people who are living bomb. So you want, like, a good mix of healers and damage dealers, and you want most of your erstwhile tanks to actually be doing DPS.
Because
you only really need one tank for that fight.
Yep.
But then Major Domo, you need a bunch of tanks. And you need crowd control. And you need all these other elements. Because it's all about, like, killing the adds. And keeping everyone, sort of keeping these things separate. And it would, having the same raid, have lots of tanks, but also like lots of DPS and also lots of healers. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Whereas unless you're looking at hybrid classes. Yeah. But ultimately, players will optimize for one role. And any given class generally has one set of gear that they're bringing around with them. They don't usually have a whole other set of armor in their bag to swap into.
Especially at early levels when you only have the really small bags.
Yes.
One of the things that I hadn't like really thought through is that it's very hard to upgrade your bags.
Yeah.
Because I've also capped all professions at 150 at the moment. I don't know if you can even get bags larger than 10 slots at level 25 with 150.
You might be able to buy some from vendors. But I guess there really needs to be a gameplay solution for hybrid classes to be able to change specs without compromising one or the other.
Yep.
And that is a really hard thing to do.
So the rune things do help with that a lot, though. So you can't change your talents on the fly.
Yeah.
But as long as you're out of combat, you can switch between these runes.
Hmm. Yeah.
So I was doing just Wailing Caverns. RFC, Rage
Fire Chasm.
Yeah. The
Horde Dungeon.
Yeah. And as a warlock, I actually changed skills around a few times just depending on what things we were fighting.
Yeah.
And just to sort of, I was really just trying to min-max damage.
Yeah.
But, you know, it would be like between fights and I was changing specs essentially by swapping runes around.
That's cool.
From being more focused on damage over time to one of the other skills, which gave me just like a quite strong shadow-based, like
a nuke.
Nuke that I could use once, but it had like a 10-second cooldown.
Okay, so like a shadow pyroblast.
Yeah. Cool. And it was fun. It was fun like switching things around. My other character's a warrior and I haven't been switching as much on that because I've never played a warrior before. And all of my experience so far as a warrior is that you never have enough rage for anything. So I've got runes that give me more rage, and I will never change them to anything else.
I think I did play a warrior a little bit, but I remember playing Bear Druid, which functions the same. And the experience was always like, as soon as one pack is dead, or as soon as one monster is dead, you find the next one as fast as you can, because you're trying to keep their rage up. It is kind of a balancing act between like staying in combat the whole time and not dying from being in combat.
Meanwhile, you're like, Hela wants to drink. And you're like, but my rage, though.
I've got 15 rage left.
My rage goes down.
I want to touch on something real quick, which is how bad Rage Fire Chasm is compared to the Alliance equivalent, which is like Dead Mines. And
I don't think I've ever done Dead Mines.
Oh, Dead Mines is great.
Dead Mines is fantastic. I pretty much exclusively played Horde for most of my WoW career.
Mm.
But I did play, I think I got like an Eldar or whatever that, like alien, you know, the alien race.
The
blueberry Drenai. Guys. Yeah, Drenai, that's the one. The blueberry guys. I got like a shaman up to like 50 or something like that back in the day. And I remember discovering like Dead Mines is dope. There's like, there are multiple bosses. There's these big reveals. There's awesome animations. There's like this big ship inside a cave. There's cannons and all sorts of jazz going on.
Oh, yeah. I've actually seen people play it.
Yeah.
I just never actually done it
myself.
It's
sick. And then you do Rage Fire Chasm and it's like, there's fire.
There's fire. There's some stone dudes you've got to kill.
Yeah, there's like some goblins, and there's a bunch of rooms, and and the boss at the end of it you don't even really notice it's a boss because it just looks like a normal monster. So have fun, guys. Go Horde. I was pretty bothered when I found out. I got to be honest.
Dead Mines has like a whole lore behind it of Van Cleef's thing of like, His crew rebuilt all of Stormwind and then didn't get paid for it.
Yeah, it's awesome. And can you even name the boss of Rage Fire Chasm? Can you tell me why it's in the middle of Orgrimmar? Can you tell me anything about that dungeon? No, you can't, because it's bad. It's a bad dungeon, and they should feel bad for making it like that.
Isn't it something to do with the burning dudes?
The burning burning. I know the burning legion or whatever.
Burning legion.
But what are they doing there?
I don't know. I didn't actually read the quest. I just remember that I had to go collect some other burning legions insignias first.
Yeah, from memory, it's like there's a cult that's taken root.
Yep, I think that's
something, something like that. But it's so basic quest compared to Deadmise. In fact,
yeah,
I've
done it twice recently and still don't really know what's going on.
The first I remember, like when you're first playing World of Warcraft years and years and years ago, and you're playing Horde, and it's your first instance. You've got this elite quest that's taking you to this location, and you go in there, and it just feels like a normal cave with harder monsters, and it doesn't have the epic feel that almost every other instance in the game has.
Yep.
And it's the first one you do as the Horde. I really don't know why they did it that way. It's just bizarre.
It's also like, for your first dungeon, it has a kind of confusing layout.
Yeah, you kind of double back and go up a hill.
Yeah, I went in there after, you know, not going in there since in close to 20 years or something. And it's just like, man, I have no idea where to go. Mm. And it seems like most of the paths are like pointless. And then you finish the dungeon, you go out, and you realize you missed a bunch of quests. You go pick up those quests, you go back in there, and you find out what those other parts are for.
Yeah, it's a bad dungeon. And okay, again, compare it to like the Arugal Castle, whatever the Silver Pine
Shadow
Forest
Fang Keep.
That's sort of again not as cool as Deadmines, but there's a lot of cool stuff in there.
Yeah.
There's multiple bosses. It's really interesting to explore that area. There's like lots
Wailing
of
Caverns
floors.
Is pretty cool. We just recently did that.
Wait, now here's something I find very interesting about Old WoW is the size of some of those dungeons.
Yeah.
Wailing Caverns is huge.
Yeah, I mean, it took us like an hour or something. And, you know,
Took an hour to do half of it. You probably missed the back half or like the secret path or whatever it is. There's like...
We definitely accidentally found the secret bit. Well, not secret, but like we died and then went back in and did other boss.
Yeah, because you kind of, from memory, it's like a series of caves that kind of wind upwards. And then you fight a snake dude at the very top or something like that.
But then there's a whole other part where
if you take like a left, you kind of wind through and you kind of go down and there's like water sections.
And the water section has like its own boss that doesn't look like a boss really, but it's like just a yellow turtle. But then it turns out it drops boss loot.
Yep.
Mm.
And then I think about like Blackrock Spire.
Oh man, this is another one that has like been a long, long time since I did.
That is gigantic. Blackrock Spire and Blackrock Depths are both enormous. In fact, I think Blackrock Depths is maybe the bigger one. Blackrock Spire is a weird one because it's two dungeons in one.
Yes.
It is the same instance, and one of them is a raid.
Mm. Yeah.
But then Blackrock.
Which is like a cool idea.
It's great. I love it. Blackrock Depths is so big that you would rarely do it in one go.
Yeah.
Because you have, if you take like the right path, there's like this whole arena and there's like all these cells. And if you take the left path, you go through like King Thorison's I think Emperor Thorison has
the arena thing, like actual multiple fights as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane. old Warcraft, like old World of Warcraft, They went hard on the scale of dungeons.
Mm. Yeah.
And then everything, their philosophy completely changed after their first expansion. It was, dungeons were maybe an hour tops, maybe 15. Well, once you got good on them, you could do them 15 minutes.
It's because in vanilla, they only had a limited amount of people to test the thing, right?
Yeah.
Like it was like once it hit public.
Yes.
And all these dungeons that they designed were like, man, these are too big. Like, these are insane.
I agree, Paul. I fully agree. And they're really big.
Yeah.
And they're probably too big to, like, commit to, like, for, you can't do it in a minute.
Because I remember going through some of those old dungeons and just being like, when is this going to end? Like, this actually is going on too long.
But that's, to me, that's exciting as well. Like, that was what was so wild about some of those dungeons is, like, you go in and you think it's one thing and it slowly becomes this other thing and then it becomes this other thing and you've only done half of it.
I guess it's the thing of like the dungeons that had wings.
Yeah.
Maybe the philosophy was you just do them one wing at a time, you know,
almost
on different nights or whatever, you know. But people just go in there and blast through the whole thing, and it takes, like, forever.
Yeah.
It's ages.
I think that might be exactly it. I think that they designed some of the dungeons to have wings, but the wings were all behind the same instance portal.
Yeah. And they should have done a thing like
Scarlet Monastery,
right? Mm-hmm.
Scarlet Monastery, I think, was, like, the first dungeon they added after launch, if I recall correctly.
Right. Because maybe there were three Scarlet Monastery dungeons, right?
Three or four.
Yeah. And they were all separate.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So instead of just one giant one that
you
has
can't
all these
even
different
get
wings.
Into the last two without doing one of the first two.
Yeah. Mm.
There's one specific one.
Yeah.
And then they did this they did the same thing for Dire Maul, which was the other post launch vanilla dungeon they added. Multiple wings, each is their own separate instance. And I think there was even like a logical flow to like you kind of do them in a specific order. But there's something that really appeals to me about like the giant dungeon that you sprawling dungeon. You don't have to do it all in one go, but you can.
Yeah.
And
it's the exploration, right? It's the adventure of going into this place that it's not just a thing you're running to, chilling everything along the way.
Yes.
You're actually spending time in this place.
Yeah.
Trying to make through and find your way around like this big mini adventure.
Yes. So many of the dungeons post vanilla were essentially corridors. And the corridors will twist or whatever, but it's like you do, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of small mob clearing, and then there's a boss, another 5 or 10 minutes of clearing, then a boss, and then 5 minutes, and then another boss.
The thing is, I never had fun in those big sprawling dungeons.
Why?
Because you're bound to the tank, basically. Okay. Like, you have to follow around. You can't stray too far.
Yeah.
You can't be like, what's this thing over here? You have to go where the tank goes. And that can be, like, really just annoying.
Yeah.
You know?
What class were you playing?
Mage.
I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah. And as a tank, you feel like you're trying to take the most optimal path so that no one else feels like they're wasting time.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I think where we did well was when we were playing on Saturday with, like, legitimately me and three friends.
Mm.
Going exploring stuff that like we didn't remember how it worked.
Mm. Yeah,
there was just like one poor other person that we'd invited. That we were like, "Look, we haven't done this in a real long time. It's going to be an experience."
Yeah,
one dude just left. One dude just left, and then that was when we went back into the after we wiped.
Yeah,
and then we did like the other boss at Wailing Caverns, just the four of us.
Oh wow, yeah. I did have fun.
So big.
It's so big. Those times I say that I didn't have fun were when I was in a pickup group.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just following along, basically. You don't feel like you have any agency of what you're doing or where you're going. You're just following along, shooting the thing that the guy marks, and that's it. The best times was when it was like how you say, it was like me and a bunch of friends just going through a dungeon and just figuring it out as we went along.
I just also want to mention really quickly that the entrance to Molten Core was in Blackfire.
Yeah.
Depths, Blackrock Depths, whatever.
My only
experience. That is wild. You walk into there. You're like, oh, there's a portal inside the portal, and then you're in a raid.
Well, I mentioned this. Wild. I mentioned this on one of a previous episode that my own experience with Molten Core was from a pickup group, right?
Uh-huh.
Which was ridiculous, and it took us like 6 hours, and we just died the whole time.
Did you enter through?
Well, no. Here's the thing, because there's that shortcut, right? At the
yeah, you use
entrance,
like the orb or whatever,
the window thing or something.
Yeah.
So a bunch of people didn't have that, including me. Like you have to go through Black Rock Steps to get that.
Yeah.
So it was like half the group was also getting like funneled through Black Rock Steps to get that thing,
amazing,
then go back out.
Amazing.
It was insane. That was my only experience with Black Rock Steps.
Was that a positive experience?
No.
Okay. Interesting.
I'm just following along.
Yeah.
Desperate not to get left behind because I don't want to like miss getting this thing because they'll have to do it again.
Yeah. There,
if you don't have friends, that game is hard.
Yes, and social pressure is a real double edged sword, right? Like when it's you and your friends, it's awesome. Like you feel there's cohesiveness there. You're propping each other up. You are making fun of each other. Whatever it is, a great time. But then when it's randoms, there's the weird social politics of I have to do what my job is. But this guy's not doing his job. There's an efficiency. I hate that guy.
Yeah.
Look, my wife and I love trivia. Paul, you've been in my trivia group. Yeah. Blake, you were there, I think, once or twice. Did you do trivia with us? I don't remember.
I don't think I've ever done trivia with you.
There's a critical size where trivia stops being fun.
Oh, really?
And that's because you have to make sure that you take into account everyone else's answers. And, like, if there's arguments going on, it starts to slow things down. And, you know, my wife and I, when we're by ourselves doing trivia, we don't do super well.
Yeah.
But we have a great time.
Hmm.
I think there's something about that. Like,
I had a real good time doing trivia, but I wasn't really there for the trivia.
Yeah.
I kind of just...
You were there for the chips that we would order.
The chips. Mm. It was like an excuse to have a beer on a Wednesday.
Yep.
We'd talk some shit.
Yep.
Well, I mean, is that
just... I am terrible at trivia.
Is that basically your philosophy with how you're playing WoW? You're like...
You're eating other people's chips?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're there to hang out with mates and have
I think
fun
if you're trying to rush to get to the end of, like, vanilla WoW, you're... Yeah. Not really.
Going
to be having the best time.
I did like. I mean, that is probably true for a lot of games. Is that the fun was taken out of it for me when I started grinding for loot.
Yeah,
you know,
I am sort of. I'm worried about what happens there because talking about exploring these dungeons, right? What happens when there's no exploration in it anymore and you're just running it for the sake of trying to get gear?
Yeah,
I suspect I won't do that much of that. I think
I would love it if they found some way to implement randomization in those like classic dungeons.
Mm.
That's
a good point. If it became, like, you know, like had some map sort of feel to it.
Yeah. Or even, it doesn't even, you know, modifiers would also be really interesting, but just any sense of like capturing that sense of exploration. The first time you go into a dungeon, the first time you enter a new area, that sense of where is everything? Where am I? This is so wild. Well, the point at which I really just grew to dislike WoW was when they introduced like Party Finder and dungeon runs became optimized.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was tank running pack to pack to pack, DPS and healers desperately trying to keep up.
Yep. That's my experience. Yeah.
And you're done in 10 minutes and everyone knows the path. Mm. And if you deviate from that path at all, you get booted or it's just like everyone.
Yeah. And you just hope that you get. Whatever piece
drop
of loot
it is
that you were after, and if you don't, you just run it again.
The story of the dungeon doesn't matter. The layout of the dungeon doesn't matter. It's just packs of monsters.
I mean, I remember just grinding, like, I think it was, like, Stratholm over and over and over for, like, loot and, like, in pickup groups and, like, never getting it. And I ran through that thing so many times.
And Stratholm's another big dungeon with lots of different paths and lots of different bosses.
I remember there were times where it was like, oh, I haven't gone this way before. And, like, the group is going a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Season of Discovery, huh? When are they going from 25 to 40?
I have no idea.
I'm tempted.
I don't even know if they've announced it. I'm not very good at like keeping up with the news and stuff. I feel like it'd be everywhere if they'd announced it already.
Yeah, probably. I am honestly, it's tempting to.
It sounds
abandon
good,
my wife and child.
Sounds good.
So what? Who's in your party? What classes?
So me and Stacey, when we just started on that Friday together, I'm an undead warlock, she's an undead mage, and then the group we made on Saturday, Damo is a mage, Neon's a healing priest, Stacey's a shaman, I don't know what spec, and I'm playing warrior.
Okay, so you got all your roles pretty much covered in that group.
Yep.
Well, that leaves me out in the dust.
Just pick something.
I'll be Draenei Blood Mage.
That will be
Draenei Death Knight, sorry. Yeah.
Yep.
Easy peasy.
In vanilla.
Yeah.
Draenei
Death Knight, yeah. What's wrong?
In vanilla.
Uh-huh.
Yep, okay.
They've got that, right?
Yeah,
easy peasy.
Yeah.
Oh, there is something slightly interesting, which is that Stacey lent me a Reddit post. Someone found in... Shit, what's the name of the area? Hillsbred Foothills. A Tauren Paladin NPC.
Oh!
Which didn't exist previously in Classic.
That's cool.
Wait, really?
Yeah, but it's just an NPC. And he just talks about some stuff, and like, because, you know, this is like Season of Discovery, people are finding things.
Neat.
So you don't know.
So there's more like, stuff
and
that like
might
that
just be it.
Then.
They might not do anything else.
Wonder,
they might have just like planted one dude.
Is that intentional? Is that a holdover from like
something else?
Burning Crusade or something?
Yeah, don't know.
Like, or I guess it would have been like a Cataclysm where they started introducing these things.
Well, isn't, well, I mean, maybe, right? Like, that means.
Well, I'm pretty sure in Burning Crusade, only Blood Elves could be Paladins.
Yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
Taurens could. Yeah.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Interesting, interesting.
But I mean, I remember them talking about how, like, they really did separate Classic because they had to go as far back as they could. Like, I think, like,
in their
versions,
yeah.
right? And they couldn't go all the way back to launch because
right.
that just didn't exist anymore.
Wait, really?
Nah.
That seems weird.
They had to go somewhere.
I think they went
somewhere in the middle between launch and Burning Crusade.
I think it was the Naxxramas patch, which is the last patch before last major patch before Burning Crusade. Which means there are some improvements.
Yeah.
Or changes depending on your opinion.
But that's good because they didn't launch with all the dungeons.
That's right.
Anyway,
yeah.
So I mean, not even just Naxxramas, but like we were saying,
AQ-40,
there were
40 Blackwing Lair. Blackwing Lair wasn't even in.
There what was in, that? In there was one in Desolus. Do you guys remember that one?
Desolus.
I did it once.
Yes,
and it was like the biggest dungeon I've ever seen.
It is big, but
wait, no, Desolus.
It's kind of linear. It's
was
it? Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. It's got the big stone.
It starts with an M. It's like Muradin.
Marauder. I don't know.
Yes,
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
That was a fun one. It had like all the glowing crystals in it,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I only did it once.
Yeah, that's one you only really need to do
once. And but yeah, like I remember like way back, it was like one of their earlier like major-ish updates was like adding that.
It's interesting how some things really captured the imagination. And they reference them in other games, and other, like I've been playing Warcraft Rumble, and there is a Dire Maul, there is a Gadget Zan, there is a Dead Mines, but there isn't a Marauder.
No, there isn't.
crazily enough, there isn't a Ragefire Chasm.
Hmm.
Well, don't know why they haven't recaptured that classic.
What was that one in near Thousand Needles that? I hated that one. It was
I liked that.
Was it? It was the spiky one.
Yeah.
Spiky one?
It was a spiky dungeon, and it had those little quill. It had the little pig guys, quill.
Oh, something. I know the one you're talking about, the quill boars.
Yeah.
Razorfin Crawl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's near Thousand Needles.
Yeah.
I remember that.
No, there's two near Thousand Needles.
Was there?
There was a Tuber's Quest. Weren't they both kind of
they're
near
opposite
each other?
Yeah,
opposite, like. It was the bottom of the barons, right?
Yeah.
Razorfin Crawl and something else. Oh man, what a nostalgia blast! Is that?
I know. Just naming dungeons.
Like playing it just really is though. It's so weird.
But is it fun? I mean,
I'm having so much fun. Honestly,
all right, but if you remove the social aspect from it,
yeah.
If it's not you and Stacy, it's not you and Neon and Co. If it's just you.
Would I play it on my own?
Yeah.
I think so, but I don't know how much of that is nostalgia.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, I am still so far enjoying the shit out of it.
Yeah.
You just talking about it makes me feel like playing it, and it would just purely be on nostalgia. Like, just thinking back to, like,
all right.
You know,
like,
oh,
let's do it.
Westfall and,
you
know.
You have to make
it.
A guild. Mm. You got to play Horde, though.
Yeah, I love Horde.
A bunch
Horde.
Of other people I know just went Alliance. And...
Yeah.
I love Horde. Let's do Horde.
All right, let's do Horde.
I'll be a druid, I think.
Yeah.
Have you got a druid?
No.
Yeah, I'll be a druid.
What will I be?
Easy peas. Is it just Tauren that can be druid in Classic? I think it.
Ooh.
I think maybe trolls can as well.
It might just be Tauren.
I'm not sure. Interesting.
Trolls can be shaman.
Yeah. And Tauren can be shaman. Orcs can also be shaman.
Yes.
Boy, this is the worst episode to listen to, without a doubt. It's just
the thing is, like, I've been playing it too, but it's not like I went through all the other
route
and I was like, oh, better memorize.
So you've been listening to us guessing at Warcraft facts.
But isn't now
we're guessing stuff all the time. Isn't it, if that implies that we're guessing an answer.
But usually there's some sort of like context for it. It's not just us listing things we think we know.
The problem with this one is that we're guessing what was in a game 20 years ago.
Well, because it's different yesterday. Now
in release. To be fair, that's months of my life. All right? Like, yes, it was a long time ago. But I can, you know, there was a lot of time spent in there.
Yeah.
Good
a lot times. Of time jumping around Orgrimmar, though.
Yes, on the bank, just sort of jumping on, doing dances, showing off your mount before anyone else can get their mounts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh boy,
good stuff. do you guys want to talk briefly about the Gamer Awards, the Gaming Awards?
Sure. Baldur's Gate 1.
That's good.
Won a bunch of stuff.
Zelda won Best Action Adventure.
Yep. And you know what? I think Baldur's Gate is a deserving winner.
Mm.
I think I would have been happy with the Zelda win too. And those are the only two.
Yeah. Did you see that Cyberpunk won Best Ongoing Game?
That's weird to me.
That's very weird.
That's a weird... Because what you could have just said is Best DLC.
Yeah.
Right?
That's yeah, a, really.
That's a, like, that's why? A different
yeah, yeah.
thing.
Yeah, because ongoing is...
Did they go back and rehaul like a whole bunch of the stuff?
Sure, right?
Yeah, but it's like three...
Sure.
They had one... This is the thing, man. They had one major DLC in like 3 years.
Yeah.
If that's... Does that class as ongoing?
Like...
No, but didn't they spend a bunch of time before that fixing things live as well?
Yes. Just
fixing.
But fixing, right? And
that's a lot of time and development. Like that,
that's just fixing
that's,
stuff.
But that's for the stuff they should have
like
done.
It's like every game
launch.
Does that.
Yeah.
And then you compare it to like... Okay, I don't love No Man's Sky.
Yeah, see, yep.
But they put a lot of work post launch, keep adding stuff, and it wasn't just fixes. This is new content, new features, new modes to play, and if that had one best ongoing game,
they did
Path of Exile. It is, you know, even World of Warcraft, right?
Yeah,
they are providing a lot of things for fans that without additional cost.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it would be a better benchmark than.
The nominees, I can't remember all of them. One was Fortnite. One was Final Fantasy
14.
Whichever
14,
one.
Yeah,
yeah.
14,
sure.
I don't remember the others.
People really like that game.
People really like that game. I tried playing it at one point, and I did not have like the best time.
Yeah. People say, here's the thing. People say, oh, it gets good after 100 hours.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It's one
See,
of those.
My thing with games is that I get... bored before then.
Yes. I like them to be good from the start.
No, yeah, ideally. I want to get bored before the end at about 40 hours in.
Yeah.
Did you play Final Fantasy 14 before they did the revamp?
No, I did it after.
Okay. Because if you played it before, I remember going to press events where they were showing off Final Fantasy 14 and it was beautiful looking and boring.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is beautiful looking but very slow.
Yeah.
And I remember when it came out. And it was not very fun, and people did not like that game. And then they spent like a year or two basically
burnt it down,
making that game,
and actually made that part of the story.
Yes,
I played quite a while after that happened, and my experience was there was too many things going on. There were too many quests because it was all like expansion.
Oh, yeah.
And. I was playing with Stacey again, and like it was too much. Just too much stuff.
There are games where they add content in parallel, and that is awesome for people who have been playing the game
for a long time. Yep.
Because they can make a new character, they can kind of choose the stuff they want to do, or they can just, you know, when the new content lands, they can just go and do it.
Mm.
And the idea basically is like, oh, a new player can just come in and they can play the best content. But you do not know what that is.
Mm.
And you are given 40 different options. Mm-hmm. And you don't know. You may spend days doing the wrong thing.
Mm. Yeah. And that's what it felt like. It felt like we could have been progressing the story instead we're doing all these other things.
Yeah. There is a... It's interesting because you have to start asking yourself, is it worth throwing away that old work? As a developer,
you
it sucks to throw away work.
Yeah,
but
it is like you need to.
Yeah, there comes a point where the mental fatigue or whatever, like there's decision paralysis involved, whatever it is, it's no longer a boon to say look how much content we have. It's like a burden.
Yep.
You have to say look how much content we used to have.
And you could like put it somewhere else, right? Like just turn it off for a while, maybe reuse those things for later. Yeah,
start doing rotations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, look how...
Bring back like a further quest line. You go back and do the early bit and bring it back for that. So that like... Just like, don't... Yeah.
Yeah. But I was just thinking, like, look how Path of Exile does their content.
Well, they had for... I would say they had some of that going on where it was like there was too much going on
initially. Yeah. And stuff's getting purged.
But stuff gets purged for sure. And stuff doesn't from League. Some leagues don't make it into core. But when they do, they're staggered throughout the campaign.
Yeah.
They're not just like when you first log in. True, it's like, hey, here's Nico. Hey, here's a mirror. Hey, here's like a sanctuary thing. You're like, that would be insane. Like it's staggered so that people experience them one at a time after like hours and hours of play.
And even then, I would say that their PoE very much walks the line of like too much even there. Like,
I mean, people say it is a lot to get into. The skill tree alone is something, you know.
The skill tree is an interesting one. I remember early discussions about how to like lower the mental burden of that, like with potentially putting fog of war around those early nodes. And like one of the things that I was told was the way when you open the skill tree, the way the camera is positioned is very intentional.
Mm.
It is meant to just show you the first few levels, but nothing stops a player from hitting scroll wheel or moving their, you know, clicking and dragging and just going, this is too much.
It's weird, right? Because like seeing the reaction of people when they first scroll out and they just go, oh my God, this is insane. That is so great.
It's both a selling point and a bounce off.
Yeah, it is a bounce off point and a selling point. Yeah.
It's, I remember pitching basically that your first character or something like would have fog of war or there'd be some sort of like thing you'd toggle to turn the fog of war off so that like a player going in blind, maybe their friends told them about this game. They aren't immediately bounced off, but they still have access to that information if they want to find it, something like that. But it's a really hard problem to solve. Especially for a game where
it's also a thing of like, is it a problem to solve though? That's like that skill tree zoom out.
Like. I think PoE is an interesting example because it has had growth and success.
Mm.
I think its growth has been limited by this, but I think its longevity is due to this.
Yeah.
So it's a very careful balancing act. Would they have had much faster player growth years ago if some of those like more complex elements had been masked a bit? Very, very possibly. Mm. But then like it's the depth that keeps people coming back. It's the wild scale of it and the possibilities that your character can go through that keep people coming back.
It sets it apart from competitors.
Yeah.
Because you look at that skill tree and say, I've never seen a game that has this. It's not even a tree.
Well, Final Fantasy you know. Sphere Grid, but yeah.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah.
But I mean, who else has done it since then?
And also the Sphere Grid is more linear than it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Mm. So, yeah, it presents that up front and you go, oh my God. And yeah, I guess some people do bounce off it, but you can only pick one seal at a time. You can literally only
You can level up multiple times.
Sure, you can only take it one step at a time. It's not like, oh, here's 20 skill points.
Sure.
You know, sure. Creating some games, right? Elden Ring. Ugh. Is it Elden Ring? I've played games where you create a character and it's like, okay, now you've got like, you know, 12 skill points to assign to all these different stats.
Yep.
And you're like, I don't know how this benefit, like...
I think that is Elden Ring, isn't it? Don't you just get like 10 to start with?
I don't think so. Maybe on one of the character classes, but not the starting. I mean,
regardless, we've all played games that have that.
I've been playing Titan Quest
because
I wanted to just sort of like...
One or two?
One, because two isn't out yet. I don't know when it comes out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But they did like expansions in the last few years. Starting to play. Yeah.
Wow. It's
fascinating. Anyway.
Best ongoing game, do you think? You reckon?
Yeah, best ongoing game for sure. And I'll be very upset if I find out any other game has won that. But they, whenever you level up, you get 2 stat points and 3 skill points.
Hmm.
And that's every single level. And their skill system is not, like, complicated, but 3 skill points is a lot to spend.
Especially when you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, and their skill descriptions are not very clear.
How refundable are these points?
You can ref... So, good question. You can't... I don't think you can ever refund the stat points.
Mm.
So if you spend them, quote-unquote, wrong, you're just kind of boned.
Mm.
The skill points... You can refund the ones that you spend on actual skills, but there's also this, like, mastery meter.
Okay.
Where have you played it at all?
I played Time Quest.
It was, like, such a long time ago.
Like, you might remember, you've got basically a page with a bunch of skills, and then they're kind of tiered. And to go up tiers, you have to spend points in a separate bar that gives you stats and health. And
That sounds familiar.
And you can't refund the points from that.
Yeah.
So if you dump too many points in that and you decide, actually, those top-level skills don't interest me, those points are stuck forever.
Mm, that's annoying.
And the refund system is, like, on a per-point basis, and it gets more expensive for every point. So you can't do a lot of character switching.
Yeah.
But you kind of get a lot of gold anyway, so it's not a big deal.
Is it gold that does it?
Yeah.
Okay. That's like, I think Diablo's like that. Diablo 4. I remember unassigning skills, and I think it just was gold.
Yeah, they definitely charge you pay to do it, but I think it's just per...
Like a full respec or something? Or...
Yeah. I don't think the next time you do it, it's more. I think it's just the amount you're doing in that respec session.
Yeah.
Well, you know what game also has gold cost for respecing? World of Warcraft, full circle. Thank you for listening.
We did it.
I'm just going to quickly read out some of these comments. This is Aiden CG9327 just said, Nick goes nuclear. That was related to last episode.
Great episode.
That was good.
We got a lot of comments about it. And I have my opinion has not changed.
Have you played any more?
No. But I did talk to friend of the podcast Carl about it for a while.
Really?
And he and I both basically complained about how bad some of those systems are. Twisted Trip, also regarding Elden Ring, said, well, good on you, Nick, for trying it anyway. It might not have been your jam, but I think you're richer for playing it and having experienced it. Hard disagree.
You feel poorer for playing it.
I feel like we're richer for having experienced Nick's experience of playing it.
I think it was... the game is fine. And am I a better gamer for having played it? Maybe. I don't know. Probably not, honestly. But I'll tell you what, it has made me more wary of people who are completely obsessed with From Software games.
Oh. Mm.
And who see them as, like, pinnacle game design.
Well, people love the new Armor Core, and that's a FromSoft game. So
it's interesting because I've heard the game is all over the place in terms of balance, which, hey, guess what? That's how they work. there's actually a bunch of comments about this. Maybe we'll read up some more out.
Let's do one more, and then let's...
This is from Ayn Hassad. I've been listening for years, and I've never seen Nick go ham on a game... go this ham on a game before. I feel like one of the reasons people like the whole exploration thing in Souls games is that people are so used to games holding their hands that they crave a game that doesn't do that. But they crave it so much that they are willing to put up with something that goes too far in the other direction. It's kind of like intentionally getting into an abusive relationship. Maybe that's true.
Mm.
I think it's also a big thing of ego. People want to say they've beaten all the Souls games.
They like hard things. I think yes, and you also see this with people adding additional difficulty to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, by I'm going to play through completely naked, or I'm going to play through with, like, a controller that I made out of, like, a potato or something. Yeah.
There's a thing though where, like, I like playing hard games, but I can't beat them.
Mm.
Like, I fail miserably at the hard games I play.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good enough to play them. Like, I never beat... I think I only got 2 cells in Dead Cells, and it's, like, one of my highest rated games.
Yeah.
I think I got maybe 1 or 2 as well.
Yeah. I could never get that third one.
It's really hard.
I played the shit out of Enter the Gungeon. Like, over and over, and never killed the past.
Oh, my God.
And, like, I mean, I don't know if those are really classically hard games, but I mean, they were hard for me.
I mean, Dead Cells is a hard game.
Yeah.
It has a lot of the Souls-like elements that people crave, in that there are, like, telegraphed attacks, high damage.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, very dodge-dependent. But you know what else? That is a fairly balanced game. Like,
yeah,
you can kind of get away with almost any weapon. And
there's just something about the like dopamine hit of getting further in something that's hard that is just objectively enjoyable.
Yeah, that's how all games. That's what all games rely on, basically.
Yeah, the happy chemical.
I think. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I've got lots of thoughts about Elden Ring. We don't need to get back into it because we're out of time. Anyway, we'll be back maybe in a couple weeks.
Hey, I actually think this is the last podcast of the year.
This is
Christmas
okay. Special. Well, hey, guess what? Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Yep.
Merry Christmas. Special
happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Kwanzaa. I don't know if there's any other ones. Pagan.
Happy.
Winter solstice.
Yeah. Winter. Harvest festival. Wicker Man.
Happy Harvest Wicker Moon.
Happy Harvest Moon.
We'll be back next year, 2024.
Wow, can you believe it?
Yes. Okay. Bye. Have you played Prey? Rather, you played Prey?
It sounds really good.
It is fun.
I think we talked about it. That like,
yeah, I think we
it
did.
Really, its name is what put people off.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah, it's so dumb.
Yeah, because it's such a cool game. From what
it's got nothing to do with the Prey that came out years ago. It's a completely different game.
I think you were telling me right. It was a mandate from their publisher.
From Bethesda.
Yeah.
And the more I hear about Bethesda, the less I like Bethesda, I gotta say. You got Starfield, right?
No.
You didn't?
No.
Did you get Starfield?
Nah.
No, I haven't. Isn't that interesting? No Man's Sky.
Yeah, you got the other one.
I have the other one.
Yeah. You got Starfield, the 2013 edition.
Yeah, which is better.
I was just surprisingly not interested in Starfield. And I feel like that's the kind of game that would otherwise be marketed at me.
Yeah, I think because
it came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't see any marketing about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. There was definitely marketing, but I...
But, like, how long before it actually came out was there marketing?
Good question. It was, like, a couple of years. I remember...
Yeah, they were...
When E3 was still going, they had basically a logo demo reveal, right? Just to be like, hey, we're working on this.
Yeah.
And they did it at the same time they did reveal of that they're working on the next Elder Scrolls.
Yes, which apparently they weren't actually working on. They just... We're like, yeah, there's going to be another one. Yeah, duh.
Yeah.
I think, oh, you guys aren't done with Elder Scrolls?
I really feel like those two announcements were damage control because they're...
Fallout 76
was doing so badly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they've been on a bit of a... At that point, they had been on a bit of a downward trajectory. And I tell you what, Starfield has not solved it.
I mean, we all know what the problem is. It's their engine.
I don't think that's the problem.
Really?
I don't think that's helping.
Definitely not helping.
It's the game design.
It's got really nothing really going on for it. From what I saw, there's like nothing interesting going on with it.
It is the attempt to go broad as opposed to deep.
Mm.
Like each since Morrowind, each successive Elder Scroll has been a simplification of the systems.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played much of the Fallouts, but I would guess that the same is probably true there as well. Where it's like we'll take away a stat, or we'll remove this extra complicated thing from combat because it'll appeal to a broader market. But the truth is that like depth is what keeps people interested, and if it feels like everything is just kind of mass produced and like made by an AI. To appeal to a broad audience, you'd get bored.
I mean, 76 definitely had that because it was using all the Fallout 4 assets and it just looked like a repurposed
I think I played the start of 76 and gave up like a couple hours in or something.
Well, it was a what are they called, like a survival game?
Yeah,
had like MMO elements, right?
Yeah, it was. It reminded me of Ark.
Yeah,
like it had a lot of Ark stuff where there's big monsters running around and you and your mates are like building a little base and stuff like that. And it's like in the Fallout world, and it's like that seems fine, but then you look at it and it's like with all the Fallout 4 bugs and just ugly graphics. Like,
I mean, I don't care about if ugly graphics are bad, but if the gameplay is good, I can look past that.
Yeah, but it's just it's that super jank of Bethesda games that is like beyond. It used to be like a quirky thing, and now it's like this is a problem, guys.
It was funny.
Yeah.
Emphasis on the was.
Yeah.
Now it's concerning.
Yeah.
Are you guys okay? All right. Should we kick off?